Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey. You ever had one of those days in life where when you come home, you're just dead tired, your body is physically exhausted, and you lay down in bed just longing for sleep, and your body relaxes, and your eyes open up, and you're wide awake? You ever had cases of insomnia like that? How horrible it is when you're just dead tired and all you can think about is sleep and yet your mind can't sleep. Most of the time, that is a horrible incident, except one time. In the Bible, there is a good case of spiritual insomnia found in Psalm 132, verses 4 through 5. I want you to notice what the psalmist says here in this beautiful and striking passage. The psalmist says, "I'll not give sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob." You know, sometimes in Scriptures there are passages that just jump out and grab a hold of you. This ought to be one of those passages. Here's David, and he's longing to build a place for God, a temple, a place where people can go and worship. And his mindset is, "I'm not even going to sleep until I can find a dwelling place for God." There's the background and the context, and it's such a practical passage for us about putting God first in our lives. You know, as we think about the idea of sleep in Scripture, sometimes it's the case that people who were asleep physically were also sleeping spiritually. For example, Jonah receives the message from God: "Go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against their wickedness." Jonah gets on a ship and goes the opposite way. And in Jonah 1 verse 5, Jonah is in the stern of the ship. He's in the ship asleep. He was asleep physically, but he was also asleep spiritually. Think about the disciples in Matthew 26. Jesus said, "You stay here, watch and pray, while I go over there also and pray." And he came back every time. And the disciples were sleeping. They weren't where they needed to be spiritually either. Think about Eutychus, Acts chapter 20. Paul is proclaiming the gospel. Eutychus is sitting in an open window. Eutychus falls asleep, falls out, and dies. Well, you know, he probably wasn't where he needed to be spiritually either. Are we sleeping spiritually? In my life and in your life, are we really where we need to be? Have we found a place for God in our life as the psalmist suggested? Well, what place will God accept in our life? David said, "I'll not give sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord." The question we must ask as we look at the teaching of the New Testament is, what place will God accept in our life? Jesus helps us with this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus taught us, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What place will God accept? God won't accept second place. God sure won't accept last place. God will only accept first place in our lives. Listen to what Paul said. Here's the mindset we need. Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1, verse 21. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 32 and 33, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so as the psalmist says, I'm going to find a place for God, we also must realize God will only accept first place. You know, David also said, "I want to find a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob." And again, in the context, he was wanting to build the temple, a place where people could go and worship and God could be glorified. Well, do we need to dwell, build a place for God to dwell today like that temple? No. Acts chapter 7, verses 48 through 50, the Scripture clearly says, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. God can't be contained in that. Well, where does God dwell? I want you to notice the last part of Colossians 1:27. The Bible says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Where does God and Christ dwell today? As I live out the teaching of Scripture, as I have the mind of Christ, as I follow the example of Christ, Christ and God dwell in me in a spiritual sense. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is His. And so will we, like the psalmist, will we find first place for God in our life? Will you, before you go to sleep tonight, will you find a place for God in your life, as the psalmist said? What does it really mean to find a place for God in our life? Let's think about that for a moment. As Colossians 1:27 says, we must find a place for Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things, even in my life, Christ must have preeminence. And so does a person find a place for God in his life? Well, there are three things that a person must do to give God first place in his life. First and foremost, if you've never done this, you must obey God's plan of salvation. If you are going to put Christ first, give Him that first place in your life, you've got to submit to His will and obey the gospel. Jesus clearly said in Matthew 7:21, it's not everybody who just says, Lord, Lord, that's going to heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so you must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe that Jesus is God's Son, the Savior of the world. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm He, you will surely die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24, you must be willing to repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. You must make the good confession before men, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Verse 37 following. And you must do what Jesus said concerning baptism. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. And so to give God first place in your life, ultimately, you've got to obey the gospel and become a Christian. Secondly, to put God first in your life, you must live for Him every day. What's it really mean to give God first place in your life? It means that, listen carefully, it means that every day that I wake, I recognize life is no longer about me. Life's no longer about filling my desires and my wants and my passions. Today, I'm living for God. You know, Paul had given himself this mindset. Listen to the words. Notice the words of Paul in Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Well, what was Paul's mindset? I've been crucified. I'm living for Christ. I no longer live that old life. That, my friends, is what the Scripture teaches we must do. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 1, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Just like the dead sacrifices under the Levitical system that covered sin, we are a living sacrifice in that every day we die to self and live for God. Revelation 2 verse 10 says this, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus talked about what it really means to love God. Here's the greatest commandment of all. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And so secondly, you must live for Jesus every day. Then you must, thirdly, if you're in sin, you must confess and repent of that to be right with God. You cannot, if you're going to give God first place in your life, you cannot continue in a life of sin. Those who do so will not be right in the sight of God. I want you to notice what the Scripture says concerning this in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Here's what the Proverb writer says concerning dealing with sin. The Bible says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, But he who forsakes or confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. He who covers his sin, he's not going to prosper. Well, how do you deal with it? You confess and you forsake that sin to be right with God. The psalmist taught us that a person with sin cannot be right in God's sight. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Psalm 66, verse 18. Sin severs a relationship with God, and thus to give God first place, I must be willing to repent, to confess, and to walk in the light. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. So have you given God first place in your life? Have you given God first place in worship? You know, some people translate or get the idea that as long as I obey God, I have worshiped Him acceptably. Such is not always the case. We must have the right attitude and the right heart in our worship as well. The Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice and to heed than the fat of lambs. Yes, I've got to obey what God says, but Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29 says, I must worship Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You can go through all the commands and still not be right if you don't have a reverent and godly fearing attitude toward worshiping Him. That means we've got to worship God in spirit with the right attitude and in truth. We must only worship God. Matthew 4, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. But what does it really mean to give God first place in our worship? Is worshiping God a priority to you? Do you get there on time? You know, one of the most disrespectful things you can do in worshiping God is walk in late. You know what that says? God doesn't have first place in your worship. Do you get there on time? Do you get there all the time? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 makes it abundantly clear that we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's the command. If I'm going to give God first place in my worship, I must not forsake the assembly of the saints. Unless I'm sick, unless I physically cannot get there, then if I don't make it to worship, something is coming before God. Oh, how we need the attitude of the psalmist. A couple of passages I want you to notice. Psalm 122, verse 1, is the attitude that every person who's putting worship first should have. The psalmist said this, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. You talk about a man who's got worship first, there it is. It was a joy, it was a refreshment to him. He was glad when they said, here, it's open, come on in. They were glad to worship God. And then Psalm 84, verse 10. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The psalmist said, one day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness. Just to stand at the door and be a greeter in God's house would be far better than living luxuriously in a house of sin. Is your heart where it ought to be in worship? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 teaches us it must be. I'll sing with the spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. When we sing songs of praise to God, we put God first in our worship by having our heart and our mind engaged as we think about the words of the song. When the gospel is preached, does the word of God prick our hearts? Acts 2, verse 37. Are we really remembering the death of Jesus when we take the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. Do we give cheerfully and regularly to the cause of Christ, 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And so God must not only have first place in my life, He's got to have first place in my worship.